I'm Carol Hills, and this is The World. India and Pakistan seem to take a step back today after several days of military hostilities and rising tensions, all, of course, over Kashmir. The two nuclear-armed nations each claim the region as their own, and each only controls some of it. It's been that way since 1947 and the end of British colonial rule over the subcontinent. That's also when Pakistan and India split up into predominantly Muslim and Hindu nations. Our BBC colleague Anu Anand has family roots on both sides of the border created by that partition.
So my father's family was near Rawalpindi, which is today in Pakistan. Of course, at that time, it was all one country. And my mother's family was just a few miles away from that line that was drawn by the British. They were in a little village called Nashera, which is still on the Indian side. But it was definitely in the area where a lot of the violence broke out as the, you know, as the uncertainty and the fear and the mistrust was suddenly unleashed when that border came into being.
And why were they forced to leave?
They were forced to move my father's family because they were Hindus and they were going to end up being in a country that was basically, in their eyes, going to be majority Muslim. And it is majority Muslim. And so I think for them, there was a fear factor. So they left voluntarily a number of months before the violence broke out. My mother's family, however, they were like tens of millions of other families. They did not think that the new border was going to matter. They thought that people would still be able to move freely. And then once that border came into being, what happened was that, you know, Hindu mobs and Muslim mobs, this hatred was unleashed. And people went on the rampage trying to kill each other. And my mother's parents were caught up in that sudden wave of violence. They suddenly had mobs coming towards their village. They were warned. And they just managed to grab their children and escape. My grandfather lost a whole side to his family. The men killed the women to spare them from rape and murder, and then they committed suicide. And my grandmother lost her only brother. Now, that side of the family, my mother's side, they continue to live in Jammu and Kashmir, in the Indian state where you see today's conflict rearing its head again.
I mean, that's a profound tragedy. I mean, how do you make sense of that? Or how did your mother make sense of that?
So they never did. You know, that's the crazy thing. Nobody ever talked about it. Nobody talked about it. I think I probably learned about partition as an adult and then started to ask questions. And this is a very common story in many families. And I think the way that I explain it now, because I've thought about it a lot and asked a lot about it, I think that for my grandparents, there were two choices. The choice to survive and to build a happy life and a successful life, which they eventually did, or to dwell on the loss and the grief and the abject fear of what they'd been through. And I think, like so many families, they got on with life. My mother's parents went on to have four other children. My mother was the first post-partition baby. They went on to build a successful business, build a house, and my parents went on to be successful themselves. And I think when you talk to a lot of families, a lot of my friends who, you know, whose ancestors were caught up in the same sort of tragedy, you hear very similar stories. Some people went to the Far East and built whole new lives overnight. Others went to Europe or America and they just got on with it.
How did your mother and father meet?
My mother and father had an arranged marriage, like so many millions and millions of South Asians. And, you know, my mother went to live with my father in New Delhi. And a year after I was born, they moved to the U.S.
Have you been back to Kashmir?
Many, many, many times. I used to go as a child to visit family. I remember one trip where hostilities between the two sides had stoked up again. And there were curfews in Jammu. You could not turn on the lights. You couldn't walk around during the day. You know, you just had to stay inside. I remember stories about how my grandfather had one of the first television sets in the town because at the time, the Indian government heavily restricted TV ownership because you could get broadcasts from the enemy side. You were that close to the border. And so, you know, I can remember the conflict kind of spilling over into our lives, even, you know, long after, you know, the main bone of contention over the border had settled into a kind of uneasy truce.
What's it like for you today to see this conflict escalate between India and Pakistan all over again over Kashmir?
It is profoundly sad and frustrating. It's always there. We know that that border is disputed. We know there's been no progress made for more than 70 years. But when it gets violent, you have to ask yourself, you know, whether anyone's really serious about even trying to resolve it now. There's been so much history and so many wars, and there is this kind of frozen truce. And I think that what's really sad is that those same arguments and those same hatreds about religion and identity get played out all over again. I mean, of course you have a legitimate political argument about the border and a legitimate military and security issue. But what fuels the rhetoric and the policy, I think, is more to do with the feelings of ordinary people on both sides. In India, over the last couple of weeks, you know, you've had the most vitriolic debate about Pakistan. You've also had a lot of people appealing for calm and rationality and peace and, you know, trying to calm it down. But you've had, you know, Indian television debating bizarre things like, well, how many nuclear casualties would we be willing to take in this war with Pakistan? I mean, that's profoundly discouraging and sad in 2019. So I think, like a lot of people, I feel like, you know, I'm sitting here talking to you today because of the violence of that time and the effect it had on my family, the fact they left. And we're sitting here talking about the conflict that's going on right now because of what happened all those many years ago. And I would hope that at some point somebody's going to put, you know, people before politics, and the two sides may find a way to work it out. But I fear that that's not really going to happen in my lifetime.
You're a journalist, and when you go to Kashmir as a journalist, is it strange for your family who's still there to have you in a profession where you have to kind of look at the thing objectively and look at both sides?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think they kind of hate it. Because I scrutinize them, and they don't expect me to do that. I think they feel like the way they feel should just be respected. And I think that it makes them uncomfortable. I get a lot of, sometimes on social media, a lot of hatred as well from Indians saying that I'm sort of betraying my own people, you know, just by asking the questions or by simply reporting facts that maybe don't play favorably to one community or the other. But, you know, that's what journalists do. We, you know, for whether it's for personal reasons or for reasons of reporting, we look for the truth.
The BBC's Anu Anand speaking to us about her own family's history in Kashmir, the disputed region at the heart of the recurring conflict between India and Pakistan.